Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Back at the year before, but I also find myself looking forward and wondering, what does the new year hold? How many have been wondering, what does 2018 hold? Some of you are saying, boy, I sure hope 2018 is better than 2017, right? Whatever it is, we come to this place and we do one of two things. We look back or we look forward. And as I was doing that this week, I couldn't help but reflect. And again, this week we celebrated the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrated Christmas. And I don't want to give a Christmas message. However, there was something within the story and the message of Christmas that I couldn't get away from, that I thought was really, really important in this time where we're looking back and looking forward as a great reminder. And so today I want to talk about a truth from God's Word that springs off one of the names that was given to Jesus in the book of Matthew. In fact, Matthew is talking about Joseph and how an angel had appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're going to be the father, the earthly father of the Messiah if you will take Mary to be your wife. And so it appears in this dream and he starts to talk about the names. And we've talked about some of these names throughout the series carols that we were in. We talked about some of the names that he gave. You will give his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We talked about the fact that he is Christ the Lord, the anointed one. He is the Lord. We talked about that last week. But there was another name that he gave. And one of the names that he gave him was the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I'm curious, how many have ever prayed, God be with me? Anybody ever prayed that? God be with me. Maybe you're traveling, you know, you're getting ready to travel a long distance or on vacation. You get the family together, you get them all in the car, and you say, okay, let's pray that the Lord will be with us on this trip, right? Let's pray that the kids will not fight and kill each other, that we won't kill them and kick them out. Let's pray the Lord with us. Or, you know, we just got off all this Christmas shopping, or maybe you had a lot of returns, so you go to the mall, you go to the shopping center, and you pray, God, be with me. Help me to find that parking spot. Bless me with that parking spot right up close. You know what I'm talking about? We pray, God, be with us. Or maybe, you know, you're getting ready to take a final exam. I know a lot of people were getting ready with midterms or exams finishing up a semester, and you're praying, oh, be with me during this exam. You know, it would really help if you studied. You know, that goes a long way. God wants to be with you, but he also wants you to do your due diligence and study. That'd be better. But what does it mean that God is with us? And so as we've come off of this, Matthew 1, 21 to 23 is where we find this. You will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Matthew's quoting from the Old Testament, an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah, in Isaiah 7:14, and that was some 740 years before this event ever took place. And so if this were a movie, if this were in a movie and the angel is appearing to Joseph and everything is building and building and building and it comes, and you will give him the name Emmanuel, God with us. Ta-da! Big moment, right? Big moment. I'm not sure if we really grasp just how amazing this declaration was. For those who had grown up and in the Jewish faith, they had grown up in that there were some things that they knew about God. And one of the things they knew about God is that God was holy. God was so holy that you couldn't even look upon him. When they came to the mountain of the Lord, the mountain shook and trembled, and they were so afraid, they said, Moses, you go up and talk to God on behalf for us. We can't approach. There's a holiness to God, and that holiness kept a sinful people away. In fact, when Moses even got close to the Lord, as one who walked with the Lord, he came to a place at one time in his life where he said, Lord, I want to see you. And God said, well, you can't see my face. And he put him in the cleft of the rock, and his glory passed by, and he had a chance to see the back as his glory passed by. But because God was so holy, there was this idea of separation. God is holy, we are sinful, and therefore there's a separation. And when it came to the tabernacle and when it came to the temple, there was the inner courts of the presence of the Lord. And the inner courts were the Holy of Holies that only the high priest could go in once a year to offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And because it was such a holy place, they would tie a rope around him. At least this is what a lot of traditions say. That if he were to perish, if he were to pass away because the holiness of God was too much and he hadn't consecrated himself in some way and had passed away, they could pull and drag him out. So now all of a sudden we have this declaration. All of a sudden this time has passed. We talked about the 400-year gap that had passed. And all of a sudden the angel appears to Joseph with this news: Emmanuel, God with us. Whoa, God has come close. He is with us. What brought the shepherds coming in from the fields rejoicing? What caused the wise men to bow down and offer their gifts in worship? What was it? It was a fact, this fact and this fact alone, if nothing else. And that is that God was no longer distant, just up in heaven there, but that he had decided to give up his glory. He had decided to leave his place of glory and to come and to be near and to be with us. A holy God coming to be with us. I know, it's kind of like, wow. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it gets a little clearer. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God, in the form of Jesus, is with us. And so as we finish up 2017 and we're looking ahead to 2018, I want to just take a moment to remind you of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And I feel it's important because some of you have faced some really difficult things in 2017. You face some difficult things. In fact, some of the things that you have faced, some of the things you've gone through have caused you to wonder, if I've gone through all of that, how can God truly be with me? Is God really with me? Has God left me? Is God really real? And there might be a lot of questions as you look back, or perhaps you're looking ahead and you know that there are some things that are coming and they're mounting up and you go, Can God be with me? I don't know how to face this, the anxiety, the fear. What is going on as I look ahead to a new year? Maybe anxiety, stress, maybe your faith is shaken a little bit. So here's my goal. Before we're through today, with the help of the Spirit, I pray that you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, that God has been, God was with you, and that God will be always with you because he is Emmanuel, God with us. I pray that God plants that in your heart. So let me break this down. I want to break down three thoughts today. And the first one is this: God is with you. Again, looking back at the Christmas story, coming out of Christmas, I couldn't help but be reflecting on these passages. I saw in Luke 1:28, when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is what? With you. The Lord is with you." Now, the angel's about to give Mary some unbelievable news, ask her to do something very, very difficult. But he said, listen, the Lord is with you. Listen, God is with you. When you're facing difficult situations, God is with you. He is not asking you to walk that road alone. Rather, he is with you. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers who were facing persecution and trouble, and in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, he said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort," look at this, "who comforts us in all our troubles." Do you have troubles? God is the one who can comfort you in all your troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, the root word of this root Greek word translated comfort is the word parakletos. Parakletos. Para meaning alongside, and kletos meaning called to. Called to alongside, to come alongside. And the same word is given by Jesus in the description of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said this to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," or translated comforter who will never leave you. The same word, parakletos, one who comes alongside, a counselor, a comforter, gone through the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus ascended after the resurrection, when he ascended to the Father, he did not leave us alone, but rather, when he ascended to the Father, he gave us the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, who is with us, one of the same kind who has come alongside us. Do you recognize how important it is to be a believer and to have the Holy Spirit? To have God with us? This comfort, this advocate, this counselor. Let me tell you how amazing this is, that the God of the universe, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present God, that changes everything. How does that change everything? Because when you're lost and you don't know where to go and you need direction, you have the Holy Spirit who has come to direct you by the Word of God. When you're hurting and you're feeling alone, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, he can comfort you when you feel alone. When you're in the middle of a trial, God is there alongside to bring you through as your comforter. If you've ever been sick, we know that God can come alongside because he is our healer. Amen? He is our healer. Whenever you're weak, God is your strength. In our weakness, he is made strong. His strength. And anytime you're lost in your sin, God is with you as your Savior. Friends, I'm here to declare to you today that God is with us. He's with us today. He's with us right now. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Not only is God with us, but God was with us. God was with you. God was with you. You know, here's something funny that I found. When I look in the rear view mirror of life. Anybody look in the rear view mirror of life? When I look in the rear view mirror of life, oftentimes it's through the rear view mirror that I can see where God has been active in my life. There might have been difficult things that I had to go through. There might have been some pain. There might have been some challenges. There might have been difficult things that at the moment I was asking the question, God, where were you? I don't know where you are, but when I look in the rearview mirror of life, oftentimes that's when I can get a greater perspective. That's when I can get a greater understanding as I begin to see and put pieces together and say, oh, there you were. You did that. Oh, there you were. You kept me there. Oh, there you were. Anybody ever found that to be true? Yeah. You know, and so I want to talk about a different Joseph. Not Joseph in the Christmas story, but Joseph in the Old Testament. How many of you know Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph in the Old Testament, coat of many colors, Joseph. He was a young man, about 17, and man, he was a man who God had given some pretty big dreams to. Isn't that right? He was favored from his father, and God had given some big dreams, but he didn't have discretion. How many know sometimes as a young person, nothing against you. Young people, I just want you to know this. When you're young, you lack discretion. You just say everything. There are some of us with social media that have that same problem. Did I say that? I'm sorry, that's a New Year's resolution. I got to stop talking about that in the New Year. That's a pet peeve of mine. No, but he lacked discretion, so he decided with these dreams, he was so excited, I'm going to tell my brothers. And how many of you think, you know, if your brother, younger brother, youngest brother comes up to you and says, hey, I had a dream, and my dream, you're going to bow down to me one day, I'm going to rule you, right? You know what you want to do? You want to go, come here, right? And so one day, you know, the brothers had heard these dreams, and not only once, but twice he tells these dreams, and then his brothers are shepherds, and they've taken the sheep off, and they've been a little bit away from home, and his dad says, hey, go check on your brothers, Joseph, go check on your brothers. So Joseph makes a journey, asks, where are my brothers? They see him coming a long way up, and they think, oh, he's away from home. This is our chance to get him. And so when he comes, they beat him up and they throw him in a pit and they're going to get ready to leave him to die. And then his brother Judah has a great idea. Hey, you know, we can make a little bit of profit on this. Let's not just leave him here to die. Let's sell him, right? Isn't that great, brothers? Let's sell him. And so some Ishmaelite traders came by and they decided that they were going to sell Joseph. Genesis 37:28-36 says, so when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Now, if I'm Joseph, I've had these dreams. God has put all of this in me, all these dreams in me. I'm thinking, God, where are you now? I've been beat up. I've been betrayed by my brothers. I've been thrown in a pit. I've been sold. Nobody even knows where I am. I don't have a cell phone. I can't get a hold of anybody and say, hey, Dad, brothers beat me up. I'm over here. Can you come pick me up? There was nothing like that. And now here he is in Egypt, a place he's never been, place he doesn't know. He's a young man, and where is my future now? God, where are you? But you know, he remained faithful to the Lord. Genesis 39, starting in verse 1, says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And look at this next line. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw, look at this, that the Lord was with him, the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything that he owned. Where was God? Where was God in the midst of everything? Looking back, what does the scripture say? The Lord was with Joseph. Listen, there may be some certain circumstances. There may be some situations that happened in 2017. There may be some situations that happened beyond that, that have happened in your past. And you question, you say, Lord, where are you? Let me tell you something. The Lord is leading and guiding your life. The Lord is with you. The Lord was with Joseph. But as we know, you know, Potiphar's wife had it bad for Joseph, didn't she? She had it bad. I mean, he was tempted to sin. And you know, just he said, no, I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be unfaithful to God. I'm not going to be unfaithful to my master. But one day, Potiphar's wife caught him, and she wanted him to commit adultery with her. And Genesis 39:12 says she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand. He ran out of the house. Surely Joseph would be rewarded for his integrity, right? Joseph, he has followed God. He has taken his stand. He was not going to fall into the temptation, right? Life ought to be easy. God will bless him, right? Genesis 39, more injustice for Joseph. Verse 17, then she told the story to her husband and others. The Hebrew slave you brought us, came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me, ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And I go, what? God, where are you in this? How can this be you? I did what was right. I honor you. Where are you? How come you're letting this happen to me? Why are you letting me go to prison? Why are you letting this happen to me? Genesis 39:20. Look at what it says. But while Joseph was there in the prison, look at the next line. The Lord was with him. Where was the Lord? The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. In fact, in a rearview mirror picture, when we look back at the life of Joseph, through the ups and the downs, through all the injustice, through all the mistreatment, through all the trials and tribulations, what we find is the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph through the ups and the downs, leading and guiding and directing. In fact, while he was there in prison, a cupbearer and baker of Pharaoh fell out of goodwill with Pharaoh. He had him thrown into prison, and they had dreams, and Joseph could interpret dreams. God had given him that ability, but that was what got him in trouble in the first place, right? But they had these dreams they wanted to know, and Joseph interprets their dreams. It didn't end up well for the baker, but the cupbearer was going to be restored. And Joseph said, listen, when you're restored, will you tell Pharaoh the injustice that has been done? So the cupbearer, just as the dream had said, had been restored to Pharaoh. But 2 years went by, and he said nothing about Joseph. And so for 2 years in waiting, Joseph sat in prison, wondering, God, where are you? God, when is this going to happen? We don't read that. We don't see that part of the story. It kind of breezes through. But when you're waiting for 2 years and it seems like God is doing nothing, how many of you know you begin to question? Some of you have been in a period of waiting. You've been in a period of waiting. God has been moving and directing, and you said, God, answer. And there have been glimmers of hope, like the cupbearer, glimmers of hope, glimmers of things that have happened. And you said, now's the time. It's going to happen, only to find that you're still in a season of waiting. And you're saying, God, where are you? But looking back, we see that God was with Joseph. For after 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't interpret the dream. And the cupbearer said, hey, I know a guy that can interpret dreams. And he brought Joseph to him and they cleaned him up. And Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh said, what should I do? And he said, listen, there's going to be 7 years that are going to be good years. And then 7 years of famine. During the good years, you need to store in barns. You need to ration. You need to keep everything. So then the 7 years of famine, there's enough for you. And he said, boy, I need somebody smart like you. And so he gave Joseph second in command. Joseph was second in command over all Egypt. Wow, where is God? God is with Joseph. But I think the sweet part comes in that famine was far reaching. Beyond Egypt, it was far reaching. And here's Joseph's brothers. They don't know where Joseph was. They sold him to Ishmaelite traders. He could have been anywhere. But the famine is so severe that Joseph's father, Jacob, hears about there's food in Egypt and sends his brothers and says, listen, I need you to go to Egypt. And who was in charge of the food but Joseph? After 2 trips and Joseph testing them and seeing where they were, Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers. In Genesis 45, look into what it says. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one who sold you into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land. For the next 5, there'll be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant, preserve for you a remnant on earth and a saving your lives for a great deliverance. So that it was not, look at this, here it is. Then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Joseph's dreams did come true. His brothers did bow down. His dreams did come true. After a lot of ups and downs. Why? Because looking back, he recognized that every injustice that had been done, every trial he had endured, every difficult thing that had happened was being directed by the hand of God so that God could fulfill a greater plan and a greater purpose. Friends, in the rearview mirror, I want to tell you that I don't know what has happened in your 2017 or 16 or 15 or whatever, but if you will continue to trust the Lord, if you will put these things in His hands, God is working a greater plan. God is working a greater plan. Why? Because God is Emmanuel with us. He is with you. He is with you. And finally this morning, I want to encourage you that God will always be with you. God will always be with you. As we look ahead to a new year, as we look ahead to 2018 on the horizon, no matter what you're going through, I want to encourage you, God will be with you. How can I be sure? How can I be sure? Because God's got a great track record. When it comes to keeping His promises, He's got a great track record. One of the greatest things that you will ever know in terms of predicting how somebody is going to act is based on how they have acted. God can redeem and change and all that. But there are patterns of behavior, and I'm telling you, God's pattern of behavior, God's track record is pretty good. In fact, Paul said the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change like shifting shadows, my friends. He doesn't change. And we see throughout history of those who put their faith in Jesus were not let down. And if you place your faith in Jesus, He'll be with you to guide you and to direct you through whatever 2018 may bring. If He gave you a dream, you've got to keep being faithful to Him. You never know, like Joseph, what He's using to bring about His plan and His promise. Paul asked a question, though, in Romans 8:35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Who shall separate us? What's going to separate us? What kinds of things are going to shake your faith? What kinds of things could possibly separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, from the love of the Lord who loves you? Shall trouble? No. He says, no, not trouble. How hardship? Hardship? No, not hardship. How about persecution? Friends, we're in America. I'm going to tell you right now, I know that we've had a lot of freedoms, but I'm telling you, persecution is on the horizon, friends. Shall that separate us from the love of God? Absolutely not. How about famine? Nakedness. Not sure why that's in there, but you know, it is. How about danger? No. Sword? No. But Paul said he was convinced of something. In Romans 8, 37 and 38, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he uses these words, for I am convinced. I am convinced. Friends, are you convinced? Do you have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship of faith in Jesus where you're convinced? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understand this. Nothing, no thing can separate you from God's love. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's not going to leave you alone. And as you look into a new year, oftentimes with fear and anxiety and wonder, and what's this going to bring? I want to encourage you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, because he is the one who never leaves you. He is the one that brings about his promises, and nothing can separate you from his love. There is nothing, my friends. Nothing. Nothing can separate you, not your fears, not your doubts, not your insecurities, not your theological questions, not the things you can't explain, not your brokenness and not your failures, not your mistakes and not your sickness, not your divorce or what someone else has done to you, not your broken dreams. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. He has been with us and was with us, and he always will be with us. Revelation 1:8 said, Jesus said this about himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Friends, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He is, he was, and he is to come. Jesus Christ is God with you. He is the God who is with you. He's the God who's always been with you. And he will be with you to the end. That's the God that we serve. As the psalmist declared, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 23, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall not fear. I shall not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. Why? For you are what? With me. For you are with me. The psalmist knew he didn't have to fear even the very shadow of death. Why? Because he knew where God was, that God was with him. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, God is with you today. So as we come to the end of 2017, I hope you can look back at certain areas of your life. I hope you can take a look back and you say, you know what? It was in these areas that God has been with me. I'm going to tell you, my wife and I, we're hanging on to some promises of the Lord. We moved here about 10 and a half years ago, and when we did, we owned a house where we were from. And we weren't able to sell that house because it was 2007, the market, whatever. And throughout these 10 and a half years, God has provided renters along the way for us the whole time. But earlier this year, we had our tenants leave. And we felt God say, I want you to put it on the market. I want you to sell it. And we really believed God was going to sell this house by the end of the year. I mean, we were declaring that. And we're coming up at the end of the year, and the house still hasn't sold. But you know what we've seen? Throughout this time, you know what we've seen? God has provided. This is the first that I've really gone public in sharing this, you know, in the congregation, because I don't want anybody feeling bad. God has taken care of us like nobody's business. But I say this to encourage you, because when you're looking at paying double payments on everything, double utilities, and you got to put out that mortgage, and you're going, oh my goodness, and you're wondering, I want to tell you something. God has been faithful. He is taking care of us, and we just have a confidence to know that in his time, he's gonna do it because it's his. It's his. And he has been faithful all the way along. So let me encourage you. I don't know what you've been going through, but I pray that as you look back, you can see how God has been with you. And as you look ahead, I don't know what you're facing, what promises you've been waiting on, what you're hanging on to, but I want to encourage you that God will be with you. God will be with you. Why? Because he's Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us today. He has been with us throughout our past, and he'll be with us in these years to come. Let's bow our heads this morning. And then our worship team is going to lead us in just a few moments. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe it was the testimonies in water baptism where it was, I kind of had church, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've walked away and, you know, as you're parking on a new year, you say, you know what, I got to come back to Jesus. So whether you're coming back to Jesus or maybe you want to begin a relationship with Jesus this morning for the first time, you recognize that you need Jesus, Emmanuel, God with you. You need a Savior for your sins today. If that's you and you want to give your life to Christ, as you want to begin a new year, you want to begin it with a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, will you slip up your hand this morning? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone at all? I want to begin this year with a relationship with Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Secondly, here today, maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've been facing some things and I've really struggled to see how God is with me, and I just really need a boost in my faith. I'm going through some things, and man, I just need a boost. Pastor, will you pray for me today? If you need a boost in your faith, will you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you that you didn't stay up in heaven. You didn't stay distant, but you came near. You were willing to empty yourself and to give up your glory that we might have life and relationship with you, that you might demonstrate and show us, Lord, through your example, that you love us and that you are with us. Father, for everyone whose hands are up today, I pray that you will bless them. I pray, Lord, that you will just begin to encourage their faith, that you will strengthen their faith, that, Father, you will just be with them today. You will be with them. You will show them how you have been with them. And God, you will remind them of how you're always going to be with them. Father, we thank you that we can have confidence in our relationship with you, knowing you, honoring you, and worshiping you. Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.